Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Salisa Williams, your faith-based community nurse, and we're back in the trenches tonight talking about health and wellness. And pray and trust that your day has been good and that you have been blessed, that all is well. And so tonight we're going to get right into a show. It's probably going to only be 30 minutes tonight. Unfortunately, late leaving the clinic, so really haven't gotten settled, but we're going to do the show anyway. And so I hope all is well with everyone. So our scripture tonight, I have two. The first one is Matthew 18:3, and it says, And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And my next scripture will be coming out of the Old Testament, and it will be Psalms 127:3. And that reads, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And tonight, I wanted to spend a little time talking about our next generation in terms of not only the spiritual part of it, but also regarding the health issues. And I've got an article. It was so interesting. I thought I would share it. We will not finish it all tonight because it does go into a lot of things and things that we need to think about. I know a lot of times I hear people say when kids are misbehaving or doing those things which are not appropriate or illegal or mean or things like this, we seem to just make purposeless comments about they ought to know better and how are they trained and just things like that. But to me, I think we should be more involved in saying, what can I do to change that child? Because it's one thing that I have come to realize is that, number one, if we don't do something, we're going to lose a whole generation. And secondly, these are the people that are the generation that's going to be taking care of you. This will be the generation that will be providing the health services, that will be providing your customer service, waiting on you at hotels or restaurants, any stores, even working in the banks and things like that. And so this article I thought was very interesting and maybe not something that would be interesting to you, but I felt a need to share it because I think this is important. And I guess to me it's important because young people are the central focus of our ministry. Our goal is to reach one, teach one. So, you know, everything that we're doing now and our is with the intent of reaching this next generation. So the article I want to talk to you about is was talking about that our kids are in crisis. And so it talked about like the social media, the pandemic, the vast cultural changes have left our current generation of young people in an anxious and depressed state. And then the system that is designed to support them, as well as us, is in tatters. I know one of the things that they have done since the instituted since the post-COVID epidemic, pandemic, it has been putting social workers into every school because of the crisis. And as you know, the mental health crisis is a big issue right now, but it is definitely impacting our children. So this article is written based on a person named Gabrielle Carlson, who in October of 2021, who was then the president of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatrists, he identified a world in which kids were in crisis. He noticed there was a soaring rate of depression and anxiety. And, of course, the family was under siege because of by the pandemic-fueled disruption, and there was an increase in emergency room visits, even for child psychiatric crisis. And what she discovered is that nearly 1 in 10 high school students admitted that they had tried to take their own life in the previous 12 months. And this was a survey that was done by CDC. And it also said that 1 in 5 has seriously considered it. So that's an astronomical amount of young people, 1 in 10 that tried it and 1 in 5 that seriously considered it. The suicide rate among adolescents, according to statistics, rose nearly 53% between 2010 and 2020. And it was now the leading cause of death for people between the ages of 10 and 18. Okay, so then, and this is between 2010 and 2020, but then comes the pandemic and the lockdown and the isolations because the kids were doing virtual. They didn't have that social interaction. And the it became more an increased reliance on the virtual school learning, and so there wasn't the socialization that young people actually need, and so the mental health of our children got even worse. And so looking at it today, from the CDC's to the American Academy of Pediatrics and the United States Surgeon General, they're all three in agreement that we're in a struggle for the mental health of our young people. It is a very serious crisis for young people starting at the age of 10. And I think a lot of people are really surprised at that. But if you look at a lot of conflicts that have happened in schools, you see kids younger and younger that are disruptive or doing things that typically you would not think young people of that age would do. And so it is now a time that we really do have to be involved in this. So if for us to understand the crisis that is facing our teens and our tweens, we have to start that with one fact. They have superpowers that older adults can only begin to understand. And that superpower is granted to them through social media apps on their smartphones. So what they're saying is a lot of us, I don't know anything about Snapchat. I don't tweet. You know, about the most I do is Facebook, but they have so many other access to social media, and it gives them an edge up, and that's what they, when they say superpower, it just gives them an edge up on things that are happening in our society. Now, and I know that in our congregation, our pastor, who is fairly young, has talked a lot about Snapchat and all these other social media and what we put on it. And you really didn't have a really good understanding about what Snapchat was. But when you look at Snapchat from the perspective of a young person, it gives them the power to see where their friends are, who they're hanging out with, and to know if and when they've been excluded. So, see, this is a lot of information that they're being given. Instagram gives them the ability to compare their lives with other people, with other young people who of course post on Instagram. So they can measure themselves up against other people. TikTok, see, a lot of this I didn't even know because I'm not familiar. I know the names, but I don't enroll in all of that. But TikTok allows them to scroll endlessly through posts, caters to their current obsession. It doesn't matter how dark it is or how damaged it is, but it gives them the ability, they can just keep scrolling until they find something that interests them. And we have seen the results of that with a lot of the mass shooting, even some of the kids posting suicide or encouraging others to commit suicide. And all of these smartphone apps and more gives them the power to communicate with other people anywhere, at any hour of the day, anonymously if they want to, okay? And a lot of time it's often against the parents' wishes. Now, this is where parents need to intervene. One of the, and I'm not sure if it was the Sandy Hook person, but I know it was one of the guys that did the mass shooting. He was always on his social media. And so, a lot of times, yes, we want children to have their freedom, but just like with us, freedom comes at a price. And so when kids are allowed to be on these different apps without supervision, you know, it allows trouble to breed. And so you know, once upon a time, you know, when you had bullies, you were on the playground or in the schoolyard. But now you can harass people, and you can do it anonymously, because sometimes they may not even know these people. And they can do it all times of the day and night, and they can pick and choose. And so that's why it's important that we reach this generation, that we be involved with them, because all of these different things helps to create crisis among our young people. They're now being bullied, cyberbullying, you know, and so these kids go into depression, they go into anxiety, they become suicidal, and so research has shown that there is a direct line between social media and the increase in the mood disorders in children and teens. And, you know, a lot of parents think, well, no, it wouldn't be my kid. But that is where adults go wrong, because even the most supposedly mature and focused kids can become depressed, suicidal, and anxious. I was watching one show, and their kid committed suicide. This kid had everything going for himself. He was in a two-parent home, very involved parents. They weren't rich, but they were able to provide what he needed. They monitored, but to a certain point. But one comment they did make is that, you know, they wanted to allow him some privacy. And so not knowing what was going on the media aspect of his life. They didn't find that out until after he committed suicide. But he wasn't isolated, and that's something you have to pay attention to when you're talking about mental health crisis in children. He was not isolated, but just being able to scroll and see, you know, and people don't understand, and having worked pediatrics for 15 years, they measure themselves against one another. You know, they look at themselves and see how they fit in with other people. And then, you know, you've heard the term kids are mean, kids are mean. You know, you can be nice. Well, they'll target you because you're nice. You can be smart. They'll target you because you're smart. You know, you can dress well. They'll target you because of that. It's just that kids see what they don't have in their lives and what other kids may have, and they use that to target them. So, you know, kids measure themselves by one another, and we have to be aware of that. So we have to look at, when you compare the rates like in 2009 before teens were daily users of social media up until 2019, which was the last full year of the COVID-19, we see that there was an increase generally between 50 to 100% in the mental health crisis of young people. Self-harm among young teen girls in particular is astronomical. It rose up to 180%.
So you can see there has been a lot going on. So we have a combination of a lot of different social medias, which allows kids to interact in ways that the older generation didn't. And then you had the pandemic, which created isolation for the young people. And now we're in a crisis. And we as adults, as a church, and as a medical profession, will have to band together in order to tackle this problem. I know this article deals a lot with the mental health aspect of tackling this problem, but that is not going to be the total solution to addressing this, okay? Because what we're seeing both boys and girls have a higher rate of anxiety and depression. But girls seem to be impacted the most. So we're going to have to tackle this together. It has to be a collective treatment for these young people, for them to survive. We have and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but we have a young lady in our church right now who is battling issues, and it stems from the mother, lack of concern about her, not involved in her, with her, really don't want to be bothered with her, and then, of course, with the isolation of the during the COVID pandemic. So what we've done is, since she has graduated and she is living with a family who has another child her age and one close to her age, and really working with her, I'm working with her, but she's still battling that issue because what child does not want to be loved by their parent, especially their mother, okay? And even though we're doing everything we can to keep her focused, to help her to be involved in her life, it's still a battle. She every Sunday she comes and she needs something for a headache, because she's very stressed over it, and it's manifesting itself in physical ways. And so that's why I say this is just not a medical issue, but it's a societal issue, and it is a church issue. And we all have to be involved in it. Because if we don't treat this crisis, it is going to really become so overwhelming that we're going to see the results of it even through our communities. And we see some of this now that where we're having a lot of problems now. So the answer to us addressing this issue is complicated. They were saying between 2008 and 2011, there was an increasingly rapid uptake of electronic medical records for huge institutions across the country. And they're just seeing this with this electronic information, they're just tracking how massive this problem is. Because there's so many things that weakening the support system for our kids. You just can't focus on the cell phone because that's only part of the problem. But one of the things that they talked about is the teacher burnout. Look at what the teachers are doing. The teachers are burning out. The schools are overcrowded, which means that when you have overcrowding schools, there is less support for kids who are vulnerable. And just think about yourself in terms of how you feel. I think a lot of us have a lot of uncertainty about our country as it is now, and a lot of us feel a little less safe, you know, in our country. And we are older, mature, have gone through a lot of changes in life that have made us able to maneuver some of these things. But these children don't. They don't have that capability. I don't care how smart they are. You know, I don't care how mature they are. There are certain phases that children have to go through, and no matter what they say, there's certain things. And I know they're smarter and mature, but not to the point that they can maneuver some of the roadblocks that we are experiencing. These kids are looking at fist fights on the airplane. They're looking at political rallies that turn violent. They're looking at violent confrontation over race. The country itself is filled with a lot of angry adults, and this leads to anxiety in the children. And I was listening to the news this evening, and they were doing a commentary where they were saying that even politically, some people are promoting violence, upheaval, and nobody's speaking out. So now, if adults are doing that, how do you think our children are feeling? And that's why I say that it's important that everybody be involved, not to mention the mass shooting that weighs on their minds. I was looking at the Uvalde students, and some of them, the parents, are just too afraid to send them back to school. So what they're doing is they're homeschooling. And then those that are in school, they have to do the active shooter drill to be prepared for whatever is may pop up. And so a lot of this is weighing significantly on the mind of our children and creating a lot of issues. And so this is where I really feel that we as believers need to really be involved in it, and you don't have to be involved in it on a large scale. Just somebody you know, maybe a child you know that is having issues, just be involved in that child's life. I know, and this is before all of this happened, I used to mentor young ladies. Of course, the one that I did has grown up now, but would mentor them. Right now, when we have young people that come in and they have some issues, we do it as a to address the problem, to try to help them. We do it, you know, as a multidisciplinary focus. So we'll bring in the pastor. I will come in as a medical person, and We may bring another person in. We have a person that's a teacher. So we try to use multiple disciplines to address the problems of young people that are coming into our worship, whether they belong there or not. If they come in and people are familiar with them and tell us what's going on, we will address the issue. We at least talk to them, you know, and if they want to talk, if they don't want to talk, that's fine. But if they will, we do, and we keep up with them. We don't just let them do it one time and then that's the end of it. We keep up with them. And so if we're going to address this issue, you know, it's got to be everybody. We just can't say, well, you know, let the medical people take care of it. This is not just a medical problem. This is a church problem. This is a societal problem. This is a community problem, and we all have to be involved. And the only thing that I dislike is for some older person to sit back and judge a child and don't try to intervene. You know, yeah, they're doing things that they shouldn't, but one thing that I learned while working in the school system is that these kids have problems at home. These kids have issues at home. And what I would do, and I guess because they figured it was part of my job, I would take the kids in and I would bring them in and I would talk to them. And you would be surprised at the issues these kids have to deal with in their home. Now, this was years ago. Now look at it now with the mass shootings. COVID pandemic, the Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter, and all these other smartphones media that are being used. And you can see why children are like they are. And so it is our job to be involved. And I am grateful to be in a church where our focus, and our pastor tells everybody right from the pulpit, his focus is young people. He's not disregarding the old people, but his focus is young people. And that is because that is a generation that we're losing, and somebody's got to step in and say, we will help you. You know, as an older generation, we do have problems, but we should have the coping skills to work through it. And if we can't, we should have the ability and the know-how to seek the help that we need. These kids, a lot of times, they won't even talk to you. You have to, and I know this because I've worked with them. Sometimes you have to kind of pull things out, and you have to find a way. Every kid will not just open up, and it's very, you have to use a lot of ingenuity to get information out of them, because what works for one person may not work for the other person. But we do need to intervene. We have a young people in crisis, and we need to get involved. Whatever we can do at whatever level we are at, we need to do that. And don't assume just because it's not my child, it's not your responsibility. It takes a village to raise a child. It's not anybody one responsibility, but it does take a village. So I'm going to end tonight. Any questions or comments? Like I said, I got home late. I got a clinic late. It's just been busy today. But I just thought this was just such an interesting article. There are a few more things that I will bring out maybe on the next time to finish it up. But just remember that our young people are in crisis, and we just need to get involved on whatever level we can. So that's going to be it for me for tonight. Any questions or comments?
The comment I'd like to make is that we're in the process of developing a response to post-pandemic dealing with children in the school and the teachers as well as the church members. And we will be doing a workshop And we have the accommodation of Zoom and in-person workshop in the near future.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. We need it. And we need it because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
Well, you all have a good evening.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Uh-huh.